Ellison Spurscast, episode 588. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the Spurscast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Benjamin Bornstein. In this episode, Ben and I will discuss the latest developments for next season, next week's draft, and the Spurs being involved in numerous trade rumors. Let's get started. Well, Ben, you know, I had you on last week. We were preparing for the draft, and all of a sudden, we're just flooded with news about the Spurs and rumors. Trades and moving up, moving down in the draft. It is like crazy right now. Like I can't even go through a few hours without there being some sort of news regarding the Spurs. How have you been keeping up with this?
Awkwardly, mostly on Twitter. It's been a lot, man. It's a lot of rumors. It's been a very noisy off season for a team that rarely ever makes noise, even during the season, for any reason. So. I don't know how much of this is smoke and mirrors, mm-hmm. mostly mirrors. And so that's what makes it difficult to decipher because everybody is claiming they have some sort of rumor. But you know what? I haven't seen anything from Woj. I don't think I've seen anything from Shams. Yeah. So, you know, how legit are these rumors? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's going to be an exciting time. I'm excited. We're going to have something crazy going on in the draft next week, I hope. I could see just about any team in the top six trying to trade away their pick desperately to get picks for next year.
Yeah, so like, you know, yeah, just like we said, like Ben just said there, it's just been crazy going on, all these rumors. So Spurscast listeners, I do want to put a timestamp on when we are recording this because like we said, there's been so much rumors and news coming out that it may change by the time you all listen to this. So we are recording this at 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Thursday night. So again, as we're recording this, it's Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. So if things change, well, then you know why we're talking about this. It's old news at this point. Okay, so Ben, let's go ahead and jump into this. Let's go to the latest news regarding the Spurs. First of all, the NBA and NBAPA Players Association did approve the 2021 season plans. We discussed this in detail last week, so I just want to kind of go through the main points here. So it is officially approved a 72 game season. The first game will be on December 22nd for some NBA teams. I don't know about the Spurs, but the first game will be for some, most likely the Lakers, on December 22nd. Free agency officially starts. Teams can start negotiating with free agents on November 20th officially. They can start signing contracts on November 22nd. Training camp hasn't been decided, but it's likely going to be December 1st, like we've mentioned. And then also, what's even more interesting about this offseason plans is that the moratorium could be lifted before the draft. So that's interesting because a lot of players with player options like DeMar DeRozan, players who are going to be restricted free agents like Jakob Poeltl, players with non-guaranteed deals like Trey Lyles, there may be a chance that the Spurs can know what's going to happen with these players before they even get to the draft. And what does that mean? Well, then that means that kind of changes their draft how they're evaluating the draft, because now they would actually know who's on the team for sure next year, maybe who's not, or what's the situation. So I think that, and not just for the Spurs, but for the whole league, that could be important if the moratorium is lifted before the draft, because normally it's lifted after the draft when players are getting ready to start talking to teams. So let's just go through these main parts about the season getting approved. What do you think about all this news?
This is how you're going to get people to not breathe for about 3 weeks straight. All right. Every time after this I talk to you, I'm going to be out of breath because I'm going to be whipping my head back and forth at the news that's coming out of every corner of the NBA universe. All right. It's going to be chaos. It's anarchy. It's everything the Joker dreamed of in 2008. And I am terrified of what's going to happen. Lifting moratoriums early, you're going to have absolute chaos. It will probably be an advantage to teams. Like you said, they're going to know what their potential free agents are doing, what they want to do. And so that can give you an idea of what teams are now valuing, if they're going to legitimately trade out of their pick, if they're going to trade up, if they're going to trade down. And so it is going to be a whirlwind, I think, starting as soon as Monday night and just taking us all the way through Thursday through the draft. It is going to be absolute mayhem.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention they could even start executing trades if they lift the moratorium. So that's another part, is like some players may not be there on a roster. So then all of a sudden the teams know exactly where they want to draft. I mean, not where, but what position they want to look for in the draft when those players become available. All right, so some other news regarding the Spurs lately is some assistant coaching changes. We did find out that Tim Duncan is stepping away from coaching with the team. as an assistant coach. You know, he spent last season as an assistant with the Spurs for the first season. He didn't go to the NBA bubble with the team. He stayed behind and helped LaMarcus Aldridge with his rehab. Now that Timmy's stepping away, he'll still kind of be around the facility, you know, in some capacity, informal capacity, where he'll still like help out with player development just here in town in San Antonio and working with the prospects and younger players. But he wanted to actually be, you know, on the road as an assistant coach on the roster. So what's happened now, because Timmy's you know, off the team in terms of being an assistant coach, well, that means Mitch Johnson, who was an assistant coach last year, has been promoted. You know, he's still an assistant coach, but he's probably going to be one of Pop's top three assistants now, filling Timmy's void that he's not there anymore. So now it's probably Becky Hammond, Will Hardy, and now Mitch Johnson. And then also a former NBA player who I think he was doing scouting for the Spurs, Darius Sungaila. He's actually been elevated to the assistant coaching position that was vacated by Mitch Johnson. So now Mitch Johnson gets replaced by Darius Sungaila. So basically they have four assistant coaches now, along with, you know, Chip England and some of the others. So so what did you think about this news about Timmy stepping away and then you know, these other promotions?
I think that was always his plan. He was not long for the assistant coaching world. He very much likes, I think he definitely wants to be around the team. He's very much a guy who just wants to be around them, you know, give some guys pointers, help out when he can, but not have to have an official label, not have to be an assistant coach and have certain responsibilities. You know, he's made enough money in his lifetime. He can kind of hang out and do whatever he wants. So what does he want to do? He wants to hang out with his team. He wants to hang out with Greg Popovich, but he doesn't want to really have any responsibilities. He just wants to say, hey, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to pick on the young guys. I'm going to show them a few things. We'll have some fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, again, he'll still be around, you know, the team, be a part of the group here in San Antonio. All right, now let's go ahead and jump right into the trade rumors. So, again, this isn't official news. These are just rumors that are popping up regarding the Spurs from some credible outlets. Let's begin first. Let's focus on the LaMarcus Aldridge rumors. So, right after you and I recorded last week, on the following Thursday, Zach Lowe had Bobby Marks of ESPN. They had a podcast together. And Zach Lowe mentioned that he had heard that the Warriors were looking at trying to get LaMarcus Aldridge for the number two pick and then exchange the Spurs would send LaMarcus Aldridge and the number 11 pick to the Warriors. And most likely the contract that would have to be included there is probably Andrew Wiggins, just to make the money work for both sides. And then also now on Thursday that you and I are recording this, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer actually confirmed that, saying that he's kind of heard the same thing. O'Connor didn't mention who you know, would be involved in the trade, but he did mention that the Warriors do have a lot of interest in acquiring Aldridge. So let's first focus on this. Let me just read you two more pieces of news here that we've kind of heard. On Wednesday, we heard Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports say the Spurs are up to something. It's rare for them, but they are talking to lots of people. And then also Matt Babcock of Babcock Hoops said, there is a growing sense among NBA circles that the San Antonio Spurs' front office is currently up to something big behind the scenes. So again, we're hearing a lot of trade buzz about the Spurs, and normally we don't hear that about this team. So let's focus first on the LaMarcus rumor. What do you think about this? And so then also
drama with these guys.
Ooh, go ahead.
Guess what? I was up to something big too. I had a great lunch, right? I had two sides and a burger, and it was fantastic. That's what I was up to. It's rare. I don't usually treat myself to two sides. Does that count as something big? I don't know anymore. But as far as the LaMarcus Aldridge rumors go, you know, that one has some merit. It makes sense. I mean, it has merit in the sense that, you know, those pieces would work out and the math works.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this discussion with a few people on Twitter, and I think most of us agreed that, you know, if this is a team that's looking to win, you're not really going to bring in Andrew Wiggins. He's not a long-term solution. Yeah. He's maybe a guy, he's still young, he has a prove-it season, and his contract doesn't seem as bad as it is. It's pretty hefty right now. I want to say it's $32 million this year. And so if he can go out there and he's playing incredibly well in the first half of the season, he might be trade bait for the Spurs to pick up assets in next year's draft, to be honest. And I think it would be a great turnaround for them if they can get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge, who is a huge hit on their cap. Yeah, they take Wiggins in return, but mm-hmm. if you're going to turn around and send him off later in the year anyway, it's not as big a deal. So you get the number two pick, and you can pick a James Wiseman or an Obi Toppin or an Onyeka Okongwu, whoever you prefer At number two, I prefer James Wiseman. But if you can do all that and you end up getting assets down the road for 2021 from another team, it honestly doesn't even matter what, how high or how low the picks are, if they're in, as long as they're in the first round, because this, the next year's draft is going to be deep, and I'm sure everyone has heard that by now, mm-hmm. several times, that next year's draft is supposed to be much better. And of course, you know, 5 years from now, we're probably going to turn around and say, well, we were idiots. It turns out that 2020 draft was much better. You're going to have a bunch of dudes in the second round who are balling out for no reason. But I shouldn't say no reason. They earn it, obviously. But I don't know. That if you can get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge's contract, I think that would be huge. And I also think getting up to number two, you draft his replacement immediately. And that's a guy who should be playing immediately. And then you can, depending on how the moratorium goes, you will know whether you have Jakob Poeltl still. And if you do, then he's still a backup, and he's a darn good backup that you want on your team. And if you don't have him, then, yeah, you definitely need to draft a big man anyway. So you can't really lose if you're picking James Wiseman, Obi Toppin, or Onyeka Okongwu there, although, again, my preference is James Wiseman at number two. So that's what I think of the LaMarcus Aldridge trade rumors. Take that, Zach Lowe.
So yeah, let me just provide you know, those actual details, because yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to provide Wiggins's contract info. I didn't realize it's actually 3 years. So yeah, so Wiggins this upcoming season would make $30 million, 29.5, then the following season $31.5 million, and then the next season 22-23, his last year of his contract would be $33.6 million. So exactly, like the Spurs are, you know, and again, Wiggins, you know, he's obviously been a very inconsistent player. He hasn't really lived up to the potential for being a number one overall pick. But you know, if they want to put him in a role as a three, if they do get rid of DeRozan in the future, or even maybe coming off the bench, and like you mentioned, Ben, try to get him very productive, and then maybe trade him down the road, you know, if they can, within, because they would have 3 years, you know, to try to make that type of deal. That was actually my next question, which you basically said you gave us the answer there. I was going to ask, you know, if they really did do this, it was a real offer, and they accepted it. You think that they would take James Wiseman right at number two if the Spurs actually did get the number two pick?
They should, yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So, and I see him. Yeah, he's basically second on pretty much all the mocks at this point now. So, yeah. So again, we'll see what happens with LaMarcus. Again, I think that's more so a move by Golden State, who wants to, you know, that we have obviously seen the rumors that they don't really want to go on that. It's tougher than being with the number two pick, because, you know, it is a chance to start going toward the future. But they, you know, they want to compete now and give Steph, Draymond, and Clay their best chance at a championship. So that's why you are hearing players like LaMarcus. I've heard on some podcasts of Blake Griffin they're looking at as well. Just some sort of player who's, you know, that wasn't a previous All Star or All NBA level player is why they're looking at that. So again, we'll kind of figure out what happens. But again, Kevin O'Connor, Zach Lowe mentioned that recently. All right, let's move on to the next player, and that's DeMar DeRozan. O'Connor also mentioned that that the Lakers have interest in DeRozan, and if they were try to trade for him on Thursday, he mentioned that it would be for Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green. What do you think about this deal?
Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green do not inspire any sort of confidence in me. And I believe if I'm correct here, and I think I heard this, I think it was in a tweet you sent, mm-hmm. you would have to sign and trade DeMar DeRozan, and his contract doesn't come off the books this year anyway. Is that correct?
So he has a choice coming up where he has his player option, $27 million, and he has to decide on that 5 days before free agency officially begins. They haven't given us a specific date, but the most likely option is he is going to opt into that. So then it's $27 million, and it works out. You can send Danny and Kyle for DeRozan, $27 million for their two salaries. It works out. However, like you mentioned, the sign and trade route is something where if DeRozan wanted to be with the Lakers longer, they wanted him longer than 1 year, then he could decline the option with the Spurs, and then they could do a sign and trade together and figure something out with the Lakers, because the Lakers are
so then the Spurs would sign him to whatever length contract you wanted.
Yeah, 3 to 4 years.
Send him to the Lakers.
And then send the Lakers in exchange. That could work out as well. That's, again, that's only if the Lakers want to have a long-term relationship with him, not just a 1 year.
Or you could hope that, all right, well, yeah, he's going to opt in. They'll trade him, but we still think we can get him to re-sign, so we're not going to worry about it. But I don't know if anybody operates that way anymore, because nobody has that kind of confidence, at least in players being able to make that decision. So, yeah, the numbers might work out, but that doesn't make me feel confident at all. Mm-hmm. Kyle Kuzma was a guy who claimed to be the third best player on the Lakers and was coming off the bench and says, oh, I'd be a starter on any other team. And I'm starting to wonder, is that true? And then Danny Green proved that he has now become somewhat of a liability on defense, and his shooting has left him, or at least it did in the postseason. So I'm curious to see if that would come back to him. And really, would the Spurs want to bring back – they like Danny Green. He knows the system. That wouldn't be an issue. He would pick it up super quick, and you could plug and play him immediately. The issue really comes down to, do we want Danny Green taking minutes away from our other guards that we are trying to develop? That's what that comes down to. Whereas Kyle Kuzma, you can play him at the three or four. He'll get plenty of minutes because they have a deficit at those positions. The Spurs do. So in that regard, it might be all right, but he's still not a player who I think is as good as he thinks he is.
Yeah, and so that, like, again, with Kuzma, you know, the way his contract works is that, you know, he has one more year left, and then next year he becomes a restricted free agent. So he's still on his rookie deal. So really, this could be like that year where, like, you know, given a more opportunity with the Spurs, where maybe he could see if, you know, if they should try to extend him next year or let him go into restricted free agency next year and see how much he can get on the market or if the Spurs can match it. So again, there's a chance there we kind of see what he really has, his potential. He is 25. He's a lot younger than Danny. Whereas Danny, he is 33, like you mentioned, the Spurs, you know what he does. He would fit in easily. But again, he's taken away from younger players that roll with the two and the three. And also, you know, San Antonio has traded him before, so it obviously showed that they were ready to move on from him. And so I think that Danny's contract, and because he's a 3-and-D wing, I think that he would maybe be attractive to other teams where they can maybe flip him. I think his contract's like $15 million a year. So, like, I think that's what they would do with Danny, is kind of hold on to him until the trade deadline, try to move him to, like, another playoff team, see what other kind of assets they can get, and then maybe keep Kuzma. And then, of course, you know, with DeRozan, you know, at first when Trevor Zitgraff had sent me a very similar trade idea before this actually got reported, and he had Danny and somebody else in it. I think it was Quinn Cook. And anyway, I was just wondering if DeRozan would fit the Lakers, but then I thought about how they just won the championship, and they had guys like Rondo, guys who aren't known for shooting, and they figured out. They just have really high-level IQ players on their team, and so I think DeRozan, LeBron, and AD could make something work. So again, it's interesting to see. It looks like the Spurs, though, out of all these rumors, are looking to move on from Aldridge and DeRozan, so that's why I see, you know if they can get some sort of value, like, you know, a young player like Kuzma, and I think they should try to give it a shot.
But how dare you call Rondo a non-shooter? How dare you, sir?
He actually shot well in the bubble, surprisingly. So
he did.
Small sample size, but yeah, hey, it worked out in the finals, so that works out. So, the last player regarding some trade rumors is Patty Mills. This came out also on Thursday, according to O'Connor, and also Keith Smith of Yahoo. They both are reporting this that the Sixers and the Bucks are interested in Patty Mills. If it is a deal with the Sixers, they're looking to trade Mills for Josh Richardson. So, what do you think about this reported rumor?
Josh Richardson wouldn't be a bad return. He's a nice little player. If you can get him for Pat, he gets you younger, he gets taller, he gets you a little more defense, still a shooter. So, but again, you fall into the trap of he's a guard, and how much time is he going to take away from these other guards? So, you know, I don't hate that trade. Granted, a lot of people are going to be upset because they love Patty Mills, and they should. Mm-hmm. Great, great player, great character guy, phenomenal human being. You know, the Spurs trifecta, if you will. And so I think it would be really hard to let him go, but I think the Spurs would do it for the right price, and I think Josh Richardson might be the right price. And that is also dependent on his contract, which I imagine is not very much right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about two, so he's got 1 year guaranteed. It's like, I think it's like $10 million, and then he has a player option next year. I think it's like $11.6 million. I had just written this up. I should have remembered it. But yeah, okay, it's about, you know, $10 to $12 million the next 2 years.
That's not that terrible.
Yeah, and Patty is in the last year of his deal too, by the way. So like he will be a free agent next season.
Those are numbers you can live with if you're going to take on Josh Richardson, especially since he is so young. He's on the right side of 30, a little more athletic than Patty at this point. He could provide a nice little boost. I wouldn't hate that. But if I'm the Spurs, you know, I don't know if I want another guard. I mean, if I'm going to trade away a guy that I really like, I want assets in return. I want picks. I am all in on 2021. the 21 draft, the 21 free agency class, if I'm the Spurs, I am going all in. I am freeing up as much cap space as I can. If I have to, I hit the cap, I hit the salary floor. I want the league warning me that I'm paying my players too little. That I don't have enough salary devoted to my players. That's what I want the league telling me if I'm the Spurs, right? And they can do that if they get rid of, if DeMar DeRozan goes, you don't need to sign and trade for him. If his salary comes off the payroll, if LaMarcus Aldridge comes off the payroll, and yeah, maybe you take on some expiring contracts this year, and then that way you're free next summer to go pursue possibly two guys. You know, you maybe want two Supermax guys, or that you wouldn't have the bird rights, so it would be the max guys, or you get three really good players, and you, mm-hmm. you know, you get a couple of big men and a wing, or a couple of wings and a big man, and you're running with the guards that you like now. They understand the system. They've been here for years. They know how it's going to work. And you're feeling confident going into the 21-22 season.
Yeah, and now that you just mentioned that, you know, saving that cap space for next year, because it is, you know, that's actually a summer where they're going to have LaMarcus coming off the books, DeRozan, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills, all these players, vet players are going to be off the books. Now that actually makes me wonder if the Warriors were to throw that offer at them, you know, Wiggins and the number two pick, if they would, because like we said, Wiggins is going to take up $30 million of that cap space next year. I think it's like 31, whatever the number was. So like that's another factor I think they're going to try to weigh as well. But I think that the other side of it is that they would get the number two pick and, you know, and their future player and probably Wiseman if that were to happen. So that's, you know, the Spurs got to think about. The last two things, Brandon, let's talk about some trading up and trading down rumors. So, you know, this isn't a rumor that or a report that they're trying to trade up, but I just want to note that, you know, they have worked out several or either talked to or worked out several players that who are supposed to go way before 11 in Denny of Deja, Onyeka Okongwu, like you mentioned earlier, Tyrese Haliburton, Isaac Okoro, Killian Hayes, Patrick Williams. Williams was at 11. Now he's all of a sudden got to 7th and pretty much every single mock he shot up really quickly. So that's one part is that there's players there that the Spurs have been speaking with or worked out that are not supposed to be there at 11. I want to ask you about that. And then also the trading down, per John Hollinger of The Athletic, he recently wrote that if a player isn't there who San Antonio wants at 11, they might try to talk to Boston about trading down for the 14 and 26 picks for their number 11. So what do you think about these two different scenarios?
So Patrick Williams shooting up to 7 angers me because I'm out here trying to hype up this man to go to the Spurs because I'm basically counting on a bunch of other teams to be dumb or to not value him at their picks that they have that are that high. And I figure, the Knicks will definitely miss on this one because they're the Knicks. They're at number 9. So if they miss on that, there's a good chance the Suns go with someone else because the Knicks just screwed up their pick. So the Suns go with someone else. So that leaves the Spurs with Patrick Williams. But it's looking more and more like that will not be the case. Thank you, dummies, who have to say Patrick Williams was great. So Isaac Okoro would be awesome if he fell to the Spurs. I think it's a good value at 11 for him. Also, if Avdija somehow falls to 11, you definitely have to take him. Same with Okongwu. So, you know, if I have to choose between those two guys, it's going to be a nightmare. I'm not going to sleep that night. And then I don't think Killian Hayes falls to 11 for any reason, so I wouldn't really worry about him. But I think some of it's due diligence. Some of it is, we should do it just in case. Some of it is, let's work these guys out. We might be doing it. We're thinking about a trade. It's in the back of our mind, so let's be safe. Because, you know, some of these guys, you don't have the tape on them. You know, you don't have Avdija's tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have highlights and you have tape from playing in Israel, but it's a different league.
Yeah.
So you that's a guy you need to see in person and really understand what he's about. And I would say the same with Killian Hayes. The other guys, you can go back and you can look at all their tape from all the years they've played in college, whether that's one or more, you know, more in the case of Haliburton. So those guys probably I wouldn't be as worried about, but the report from John Hollinger is something that I have been touting for a while.
I remember you wrote about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if the Spurs can pull it off, if the Spurs can get those picks from the Celtics, because I think the Celtics have three first-rounders. I think they have 14, 26, mm-hmm. 30. if you can move down to 14 and 26 or 14 and 30 or somehow get all three, which I doubt would happen because Danny Ainge is a mad evil scientist when it comes to picks, those are opportunities to get really good value guys. I think a Vernon Carey at 26 would be great, or an Isaiah Stewart or someone like that would be fantastic. 14, I'd have to look a little more, but there are good players to be had in those ranges. So it's 11 is kind of an awkward pick. You really have to find out what people are doing earlier in the draft, because I just get this feeling two or three teams are just going to screw up a pick early, and it's going to mess with the mojo of the rest of this draft. People are, you know, some teams are going to panic and they're going to say, oh, why did they pick that guy? That wasn't really what we were planning. What do we do now? I don't know what to do with my hands, you know? So just have to be on the lookout for that. Have to keep calm, stay steady. But getting down to 14 and 26 would be awesome. Again, great value to be had in those picks.
Yeah, so let's move on to our next topic here, and this is the latest mock. So again, last week we had met and we had discussed where the mocks had some of these players, and you gave me some more details about them. But now let's go through what the latest ones have. Pretty much as of today, a lot of these mocks have been updated, or I've at least tried the last two days. So like, I was kind of disappointed last night when I made this outline and I had sent it to you, the Ringer hadn't updated their mock draft since November 3rd. Well, then finally today they did, so then I was able to adjust my numbers in my spreadsheet. And all of a sudden now I don't have, because I used to have a clear, concise number 11. It was Devin Vassell, but now it completely threw off my algorithm, and so now there's nobody at 11 that's like specifically there at 11. So here are the players. I know. So here are the players that are being mentioned, and so like one mock that I see is Isaac Okoro. So just give us, I guess, listeners, why should the Spurs take him? Maybe why not? What do you think of Isaac Okoro if he lands at 11?
Isaac Okoro immediately can be a defensive menace. Immediately. He is that good on defense. He has a lot to work on his offensive game, but he's 6'6", he's long, he's really strong for his age. He only played one season at Auburn. Mm-hmm. So he's pretty young, he's 19. The kid is a supreme athlete, a freak athlete, gets up and down the floor really well, can go up, play above the rim, great for alley-oops and great for playing on the break. But outside of that, he's not really a shooter yet. He doesn't have any – his handles aren't as tight as they probably need to be. But, again, can contribute immediately on defense.
Okay. Two mocks that I look at, they actually have Aaron Nesmith. He's a shooter, right, that you mentioned before? Yes.
Professional shooter.
Professional shooter, yeah.
Probably the best shooter in this class.
Okay.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I just know he shot an absolutely ridiculous number from three-point range, and it was not on an insignificant amount of shots. He took, I want to say, almost 10 threes a game, and he was making more than 40%. He's not a slouch. He could be a 3-and-D guy. He's got to work on his D a little bit, but he's a guy who can come in and immediately spark an offense and maybe be a microwave guy for the second unit.
Okay, so this next player was one player that you mentioned last week who wasn't like on any of the mocks, but now apparently he is on one of them. Sadiq Bey. You just give us some intel on him.
People keep talking him into being a top 10 pick now, and it's very upsetting to me.
Oh, he's falling from what I see. 11, 18.
Oh, he's falling? Okay, yeah. Great. Keep falling. Yeah,
his average range is 14 as of right now. So I see great. 11, 18, 12, 13, 14 is where I see him.
Fantastic. Love to hear that, because Sadiq Bey at 11 would also be a great pick. I have said that I like Patrick Williams over Sadiq Bey, but if Patrick Williams is going to go early in this draft, then Sadiq Bey at 11 would be fantastic. One of my favorite prospects this year, at least for that pick. Villanova played under Jay Wright, so he's a smart guy. He knows how to play, good IQ, good shooter, can create a little bit off the dribble for himself, good defender, can guard two or three positions. Probably not as strong as Patrick Williams. He's a little on the lighter side, but again, that was his listed weight. He was listed at 216, I think, on the Villanova website on their official roster. But in the 6 months since we should have had a draft, he's probably put on weight. Mm-hmm. Obviously I can't I can't speak personally. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in workouts. I haven't really heard anything. But with all this extra time, you have to imagine guys are getting in the weight room. Guys are working out. They're trying to get a little bigger. So I would imagine he's a little bigger by now, but we'll have to see.
Okay. And then the last player who's on a mock is a player we did discuss last week. He was also there. Devin Vassell, just some intel on him.
Devin Vassell, I actually had the opportunity to listen to him. He was talking to some reporters, and he specifically was asked about the shooting video that became real scary for some Spurs fans. He said it's not a big deal. He got to work out with teams a week after that video came out. None of the teams had any concerns. He addressed all of those concerns. It's not an issue anymore. Still shot 40% from three this past year, so he's a good shooter. And he's a guy who could potentially guard two to three positions. His biggest thing is he's got to put weight on. He has to put more weight on.
Okay, so those are where the latest mocks are. So now, Ben, I want to go through and just ask you some players that the NBA's been starting these virtual press conferences with the draft picks that are expected to go in the first round these next 2 weeks, or at least until the draft, should I say, not even 2 weeks away, next week. Anyway, on Wednesday, three players mentioned that they have either spoken with the Spurs or worked out with them, and that is Tyrese Haliburton, Isaac Okoro, who you've already discussed here, and Aaron Nesmith, who you've already discussed. So give us some intel on Haliburton. I know he's supposed to go way before the Spurs. He's expected to go around eighth or seventh. I see a lot of mocks with him at eighth right now, and then one at four. So what's the latest? I mean, what is Haliburton?
That is high
intel on him.
He is a really nice combo guard. If you watch him play and you see his shot for the first time, you'd think to yourself, how does he make any shots with that form? But he's actually a really good shooter, mostly spot up. I think he can dribble into his three-point shot a little bit, but really nice guard. He could be a lead guard. He can handle the ball. He's initiated the offense for Iowa State, and pretty lengthy. He's long. And again, another guy has to put on weight, but that's the case with a lot of college players going to the pros. So it's not that big a deal. But he's a nice little player. I'd like him. If he fell to 11, I wouldn't hate that pick either. There's a lot of guys, so if they fell to 11, I wouldn't hate the pick. I'd hate the pick at 6 or 7, but I wouldn't hate it at 11.
Two other players who said they've spoken to the Spurs recently are on Thursday. They said this that they've spoken to the Spurs, not on Thursday, but in the past, are Tyrese Maxey and Theo Maledon. So I know that they're both guards. They're both 6'3". I see here, 6'3" and 6'4". So I noticed that you didn't write them up as prospect watches because again you haven't really been targeting smaller guards like we've talked about before. So just kind of what's the intel on those two players, Maxey and Maledon? Also, what are your thoughts about the Spurs saying that the Spurs actually spoke to them or worked them out?
Again, I think it's part of due diligence. I think I know Tyrese Maxey will be available at 11, so.
Yeah, he's supposed to go 15. He's pretty. Yeah, he's about mid.
He's a guy who would be available to them, I imagine. I think part of that was due diligence. Tyrese Maxey is a guard, but he is not a shooter. He is not a 3-point shooter at this point in time. He could get there though. He shoots decently on free throws. He's an 83% free throw shooter. Rebounds decently for his size. He had about 4 rebounds a game. 3 assists a game, but low shooting percentage. So that's the issue. He's not really a shooter right now, and it's not at the low level that Isaac Okoro is. Tyrese Maxey can shoot it every now and then when he needs to, but he's a guy who also has to learn how to finish. So I would not feel confident with Tyrese Maxey at 11. And I frankly don't know enough about Theo Maledon to say anything. I have not been paying much attention to the overseas stuff, because this is a year where a lot of college guys are coming out and a lot of college guys are getting kind of the hype and getting talked about as the first rounders, with the exception of, I guess, technically LaMelo Ball, because he played overseas, and a few other guys.
Yeah, and so I just want to note that as far as Maledon, he did play for Osvo, which is the team that Tony Parker, former Spur, owns as well. So maybe the Spurs, you know, maybe Tony gave them some sort of tips or something. Hey, let's scout this guy. Maybe that's the only reason why.
Tony.
Yeah. So, and then I guess the last thing note is that in his latest mock draft, Jonathan Givony of ESPN did mention basically that the players you've been targeting, Ben, is that the Spurs are targeting, from what he's hearing, wings and bigs pretty much only. So it's kind of what you've been writing about all year.
As they should be. Yeah, so. Don't even look at guards.
So yeah, that's what threw me off, that they talked to these two guards. Like you said, probably just doing their due diligence. Okay, so Ben, now let's go ahead and jump into the second round. I know that you know, we didn't spend any time on the second round last week, but I'm just gonna throw some players who I've kind of seen. Again, second round is like just scattered. There's no average player at 41 for the Spurs. I'm just gonna throw some names at you that I've seen on mocks, but again, it changes pretty much every single mock. Big man, Udoka Azubuike from Kansas, 7-footer. I've seen Reggie Perry, 6'10", a player out of Mississippi State, and then also Grant. Is it Riller or Ryler?
I think it's Riller.
Riller, okay. Grant Riller, 6'3" guard, another guard. You see from Charleston. Oh, those are the only three players I've seen. But I know you've written a lot about different prospects in the second round. So go ahead and just go ahead and discuss the second round with us.
So Azubuike, really nice player, a guy who works really hard over the course of his 4 years at Kansas. He dropped a ton of weight. There was a point in time he was over 300 pounds. At the end of his senior year, he was 270. Mm-hmm. So that's light for him. And he is a legit 7-footer. He's not supremely athletic, but he's got long arms. He's got a big body. He's a guy who knows how to use his size. He seals really well. He posts really well. He's got one or two go-to moves. And he just says, you know what, I'm going to power through you and dunk on you.
Okay.
Because he knows if he doesn't dunk on you, he's probably not finishing. Not a good free throw shooter at all, but he had the highest field goal percentage in all of college last season because all of his shots were at the rim. So exciting in that regard. Can be a rim protector for you with his body. He's gotten much quicker, and he can position himself well. Grant Riller, I have just a little bit of knowledge of. He's a nice little point guard. I think he can go out and he gets his own shot. He's a good shooter. I think he can get into the lane. That's really all I know. Mm-hmm. As far as Reggie Perry, another SEC guy that I like, I've seen some people commenting on him saying they like him at 41 to the Spurs. Mm-hmm. And I would too. I think he's a good solid big who's going to be able to learn and maybe even contribute right away, depending on the situation with the Spurs and if they make trades and if they let Pirtle go, things like that. So he's got a nice game. He can shoot it a little bit at the very least in the mid range, and he's got an NBA ready body. He's not a guy who needs to put on weight.
Okay. And then, so now, who are some other players that you think that the Spurs Casters listeners should look for? That I didn't mention here. I know you've written a lot about a lot of prospects.
Yeah, there is one guard who I really like. I actually just wrote him up. He's going to be available for you guys to read about soon. Sam Merrill out of Utah State. And so his biggest knock is that he's 24 years old, but he was on a Mormon mission trip for 2 years, which is why he is so much older than all the other prospects in this draft. He is also a professional shooter, and not just catch and shoot. He can create his own shot. He shoots it with very little space as well. And he shot over the course of 4 years, he shot about 42% from three. The kid can flat out shoot. He's very much a JJ Redick type. Except J.J. Redick could never go out and really create his own shot. He was running off screens everywhere and getting the shots that way. And Merrill can do that as well. But he can also. But his biggest addition is that he can create his own shot. And so he's another guy. It might take him a year or two to only be half a step slow rather than two steps slower than the guy he's defending. But in the second round, it might be worth it. Another guy I really like is Paul Reed out of DePaul, 6'9", but he is really long, a really lanky player, blocks shots because people don't expect his hands to be coming out of nowhere like they do. and he's got a nice little mid-range. I think he can shoot from three a little bit as well. Solid defender. So a guy I like. He's played college two or three years, so he is ready to make the jump.
Yeah, he might be there. I see him here in these mocks. Some have him at 37 at the lowest, and all of it, and then all of it as high as 53. So he's kind of in that range for sure. He could probably be there at 41 for the Spurs. Anybody else bigger?
There were one or two more guys who I really liked. Najee Marshall out of Xavier, 6'7". Has a decent handle. Probably needs to tighten it up a little more, but he was asked to do more at Xavier this past year, and he stepped up and did it. He was a better shooter, better passer. So that's something I can appreciate. A guy I really like, I think would be sneaky good, is Cassius Stanley. And yeah, he's 6'6". He probably falls into that guard category, but you might be able to play him at three in a small ball lineup. But this is another kid who is a freak athlete, and that's what attracts me to him. He can play above the rim. He can go out and he can lock down guys as well. He and Trey Jones were the best defenders on that Duke team last year. And if Trey Jones hadn't been there for a year or two already, more people would probably be talking about Cassius Stanley as a great defender. So I like his game. I think it translates well. And frankly, I think Spurs fans would love to see more players above the rim making plays. We can only stand so many LaMarcus Aldridge mini hooks and turnaround fadeaways.
And pick and pop mid-rangers from 17.
Yeah, pick and pop.
Yeah, listen, you know, go ahead.
I get it. It's not the sexy stuff that gets the job done, but every now and then you got to reward fans.
0.80 points per shot. Anyway, real quick on Cassius Stanley. So one thing to note, Spurs cast listeners, is that you know, he's pretty much there at 41. It looks like in a lot of these mocks right now, I have him as 40 on one, 42, and then also the high, lowest is 51. So about average range is about 44. I want to ask you about two players that I've seen the Spurs, you know, either spoken with or worked out. And these are, one of them is a player who you've written about before. But although I think he might get taken before, no, he's right at 37 is his average range. Daniel Arturo, 6'10" big out of Minnesota. What can you tell the Spurs cast listeners about him, or maybe have you fallen off on him? What do you think about him? Because the Spurs,
I definitely have fallen off on him. I like him. 6'10", big body, not terribly athletic, but he can help you. He can help you protect a rim. He can get up. He athletic enough to help you there. His range is expanding. I actually saw, it's funny you say his name, because I saw a video for him. It was either today or yesterday. And he was shooting in the mid-range. I think he shot some threes, and he looked pretty good. So I was very ecstatic about that. I was like, Daniel Arturo, more than a back-to-the-basket big man. I can appreciate that. And he made, from his freshman to his sophomore year, he made a major leap in production. So I think you have to look at that, and you have to give him credit for that. You have to consider that when you're drafting him. I think he almost averaged a 20-10 year last year. And in the Big Ten, which is known for its big men, they had you know, the runner-up to the player of the year, Luka Garza. And I think Arturo had to play him, I want to say twice, but I don't know. I can't remember if the Big Ten plays round robin. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's going up against big dudes. And he's not shying from contact. He is no wallflower, I'll say that.
Okay. I want to ask you another player. This isn't a player you've written about, but I've seen him that he's at least spoken or worked out with the Spurs, and that's Omer seven-footer from Georgetown. What's going on with him?
I'm not going to lie, I made this joke earlier today, but I wanted to say it again on the podcast. It's better than Omer Yurt 6. but I don't know if he'll be as good as the guy that comes after him, Omer Yurt 8. So we'll see what version comes. But on the real, started at NC State, was there 2 years, transferred to Georgetown, who, you know, Georgetown has a legacy of big men, obviously, for those who keep track, Alonzo Mourning, Patrick Ewing, several others. So, you know, it was a good fit for him. He's a legit 7-footer. You can't teach size. He's pretty big. He can move his feet fairly well. He's not a shooter, though. He has a really long, wind-up shot that just isn't going to work at the next level. I think his free throw percentage has been improving, but I that's not a guy I'd look at 41. And I think on a, I don't know what his average draft position is.
He's pretty late. It's about 56 from when.
Yeah. I was going to say on some of the ones I've seen, he hasn't even been on there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's not on most either. I only see him on one, honestly. Like, so yeah. So okay. That's for sure. Yeah. He's so 56 is that, but the reason why I wanted to ask about it was just cause I have seen somewhere that he's either spoken with or worked out for the Spurs. That's why I wanted to ask you about him. And I guess we'll close it off here with the second round part. I want to ask you one player who you have written about, 6'7", Jordan Nwora out of Louisville. What's cause he's about 40. I mean, his average range, so that could, you know, that could be potentially be right there for the Spurs.
I've liked him as a sneaky good second round wing player. I've liked him for a long time. And I'm glad no one else sees that because I need the Spurs. I would be ecstatic if the Spurs drafted him. He shoots the three well, he handles well. He was Louisville's offense for a lot of games the last 2 years. And between Rick Pitino leaving and Chris Mack and an interim head coach, you know, he's seen some things. He's a grizzled veteran at this point in the college basketball game. But between having two different coaches, being recruited by a different one altogether, you know, going through those different offenses and still putting up his numbers, I think is impressive. And he's a little slow. He probably can't guard more than two positions. Mm-hmm. But his offensive game is too good to pass up. And, you know, shooting makes up for a multitude of sins, and he can do that.
Okay. So, yeah. So those are some Spurs cast. I mean, it's not some Spurs cast, some second round picks to look for Spurs cast listeners that Ben mentioned there. And again, check out his work over on projectspurs.com. Like he mentioned, we will have on the site, we're going to have Sam Merrill up pretty soon here. Ben just wrote about him. So make sure you check that out as well. This latest prospect watch. And then we, you know, we're pretty much almost there. We're less than a week away from the draft now. So,
hallelujah.
Yes, it's finally here. I know you've been writing, man. That's a long time to be writing about this draft, considering, you know, with the pandemic that hit. And so you had a delay.
Just ready for that first music to come on. And, you know, it's going to feel like the John Cena theme song. I'm just going to walk out. That's Ben's music.
So yeah, so we'll see what happens. So let's find out, you know, next week. That'll be a fun time, you know, especially with all the other stuff with trades and signing. I mean, free agency starting next week as well, so it's going to be a long 2 or 3 weeks coming up here. chaotic next 2 or 3 weeks here. All right, so just a few quick plugs before we end this episode. Make sure you're checking out projectspurs.com. As you all know, there's a lot of trade rumors, breaking news going on, so make sure you know we're writing that up over on Project Spurs, so make sure you're following our site. Also, I've been doing these little, they're not real newsletters, but they're like that newsletter format where like I've taken the day's news and I've kind of written about it, provide a little bit more context, called the wrap-up. So I've been putting those out each day with the latest rumors and just little notes here and there. And I've also been updating on these draft projections as well. Thanks to Ben again for joining me here on the Spurs cast, and also to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.